Madam Speaker, I stand before you proudly in my capacity as parliamentary representative for the exceptional constituency of Nikko North. Madam Speaker, I would firstly like to represent and welcome the representative from Babano, back to St. Lucia, after collecting much fertilizer in the form of volcanic ash for the constituency and for the island as a whole. I do hope that the agricultural boom that will happen after his much-needed fertilizer will be seen in next year's budget. Madam Speaker, I would like to take this opportunity to thank every man, woman and child of my constituency for the support extended to me over the past 2.5 years. Further, Madam Speaker, I would like to thank every St. Lucian, both here and abroad, for their support. Madam Speaker, praises must be given to the Almighty God for giving me the health, strength, wisdom and courage to conduct my duties as parliamentary representative. Madam Speaker, I would like firstly to explain how I am going to go about my presentation. I am going to speak about budgetary allocations given to members of Parliament. Then I will focus on my constituency. And finally, I will be looking at the budget. Before I begin, Madam Speaker, I urge all members to strengthen the bipartisan approach and stop the division in this country. St. Lucia is crying out for it to stop, Madam Speaker. Am I the only one who can feel it? The annual budgetary allocation given to a member of Parliament, Madam Speaker, is this amount. The remote is not working. A total of $30,000. Next slide, please. This allocation is used specifically for rental of property, for office space, salary for secretarial staff, and utilities. Next slide, please. Pardon me? If less than this amount is used, because of the way it is allocated, the money is returned to the Treasury and is unavailable for further use in the constituency. If the amount is greater than the amount allocated, the parliamentary representative has to pay it from their own salary. No further monies are allocated to the office of a parliamentary representative. And the parliamentary representative is dependent on the executive and the ministries to do the work in their constituency. Next slide. Therefore, when any member of this House stands before you in their capacity as member of parliament and tells you they do not have the resources to do it and they are waiting for word from a minister, they are in fact speaking the truth. I constantly question, Madam Speaker, as to what exactly is the role of a member of parliament. There are so many things that you want to do, so many things that you see that can be done, but the lack of funding leads to frustration of you and the people of your constituency. Madam Speaker, I believe in accountability. And personally, I believe the budget process that we have been using for time immemorial is flawed. For it is my belief that a minister needs to be given adequate time prior to the presentation of a new budget to account for what has been done in the prior budget cycle. Further, Madam Speaker, it is my belief, and I'm saying that it is my belief, that a minister should not be an elected member. An elected member should be that just to represent the people. An adequate amount of the budget allocation should be given to the local government system to allow for the proper and holistic development of the constituency and in turn the nation. This would allow the minister to focus primarily on the ministries and parliamentary representatives to focus primarily on their constituency. Therefore, Madam Speaker, I am glad to see that we are going steadfastly ahead with constitution reform, and I am looking with bated breath, waiting in anticipation for the results of what is going to come out of constitution reform. Therefore, Madam Speaker, in terms of accountability, I would like to present the expenditure for the constituency for 2009-2010. The Taiwanese grant aid funds, $1 million normally allocated to the constituency through the Miku Village Council for 2009, the amount that was received was $500,000. Although the project submission was made way in advance in June of 2009, there seems to have been a mix-up somewhere along the line, and these project proposals did not reach the embassy until October of 2009. Therefore, we received the monies only in November of 2009, and that is why we did not get the full amount. So these are the projects that were done. We spent $421,502.17 on drainage throughout the constituency, in particular in the Miku Village, in Prale, and in Lapwet. The four-fold program, Madam Speaker, I believe is a commendable venture, of which I gave $15,000, a small amount for something that has produced so much. And I need to explain a little about the four-fold program, but because there was no explanation of it in the budget. Over the last 20 months, a national pole-vault program was initiated from scratch by a Peace Corps volunteer, Mr. Andy Bell. Due to the commitment and hard work of Mr. Bell and St. Lucia coaches Cyrus Jules and Andre Rodney, St. Lucia was literally catapulted into the medal arena at Corrixa 2009 and 2010, where we attained gold and silver in 2009 and bronze in 2010. Next slide. Following this success, women's pole vault, next slide. Women's pole vault has been introduced and local coaches have been brought into the program and at numerous schools, Miku, Grenadier, St. Mary's and Rosalie to name a few, with voters from other schools including Clendon Mason and Cicero. Further, Mr. Rick Vines of La Flamengo, in the member next to me's constituency, has attained a partial athletic scholarship at Cowley College in Kansas, specifically because of his pole vaulting prowess, and attained the ranking of 6th at Junior College National, so he's ranked 6th in the United States of America, just after leaving St. Lucia at the beginning of this year. So I think that this is a very commendable effort. Sam Edwards of Magnitude Miku attained the bronze in 2009, the gold in 2009, and bronze in 2010, and is on the verge of breaking the same height range that Rick Balance has received for his scholarship. So I think again, we are way going far with pole vault, and I would urge the government to continue to assist this program. Next slide, please. Thanks must also go to the people of Miku North, in particular the people of Mopo, who embraced Mr. Andy Bell and made him feel the true love of the people of St. Lucia, and in turn allowed Mr. Bell to contribute invaluably to the development of the country. Mr. Andy Bell needs to be recognized for his contribution by this government, and I urge the Prime Minister and the Member for Grosley in his capacity of Minister of Youth and Sports to formally write to Mr. Bell expressing Senator's gratitude. Mr. Bell shows what it is to be a volunteer, giving unselfishly to his adopted homeland. And this is the Pole Vault Summit, which they attended in Reno, Nevada earlier on this year, providing them with much needed expertise. Next slide, please. The after-school program, which is something that is sponsored by OAS and the Ministry of Social Transformation, needed much needed assistance for supplementing transportation costs. So an amount of $5,000 was given to this after-school program to ensure that children were able to attend this much needed activity. Next. independence activities for the elderly, we also gave $500. The initial allocation for this amount was $1,000 for activities. However, what happened this year is that because we didn't get the full amount of allocations, we were only able to give $500. Also, you may notice that I said in the allocation that we used the money for the after-school program. This was initially allocated for independence activities. The reason why we did not have this activity is because what happened with the Ministry of Education this year, schools did not have one specific youth rally for the district pride area. They had many different rallies, so we allocated the money to something else. Computers, printers, photocopiers to a variety of different schools, the Mipo Police Station, they don't have a printer or anything. We spent $61,310. We just recently received this equipment, and this equipment will be given in the next few weeks. Repair of the St. Lucie's National Shrine, Delphi. This is about to fall down, so we spent a sum of $5,500 to assist the church. Outstanding work. The school transport subsidy of $150,000 to the Ministry of Education. Due to the fact that we did not receive the funds on time, this has not been paid to the Ministry of Education, but will be paid in the next few weeks. Water quality analysis, $500, Madam Speaker. Next. And the reason why I have water quality analysis is because of the Miku intake. This is the Miku intake. It is in a deplorable situation. It has been silted since February of 2000. Next slide. This is the grill where the water passes through. As you can see, it's extremely dirty, and the only technology that they use to clean the grill is a scrub and brush. So when Miku doesn't have water, a man goes with a scrub and brush and scrubs the grill. This is actually the intake. As you can see, that it's clearly silted up, and I am glad to hear that the Prime Minister has forgone the privatization, because I, for one, did not agree with it, and are looking closely at the revitalization of the water system. And I do urge them to look closely at the Miku constituency, because as you can see, the intake is really not fit for drinking water. And further, asbestos pipes run throughout the constituency to the village of Miku may also be a health risk. Next. All-terrain vehicles for the police. Four all-terrain vehicles we hope to buy for $90,000. The reason why is because the police only have one vehicle, and when there's a crime occurring in or a report in Deriso and something happening in the village, the police are unable to go to the site. Next. After contest, request for the lighting to the government for the Miku Multipurpose Court to no avail, so we have put money in here for a sum of $90,000 for lighting for the Miku Multipurpose Court. So we do hope to do that this year. And lastly, drainage for Upper French Row of $55,000. Next slide. In addition to that, local government is $100,000 is normally allocated to the Miku, to the village council. So this is what was done with the stimulus package, the first stimulus package for Miku. Next. And as you can see, drains, defilting, slab construction, and a total of $67,035 was spent there. Next slide, please. The next package, a sum total of $67,455 was spent, and this also included drainage construction for the Miku village and for other areas in the constituency. Next slide. The after school program, which as I said, is a commendable effort sponsored by the Ministry of Social Transformation and OAS, who's putting in the bulk of the money. 40,000 students from the constituency go to the after school, 40 students, sorry. I wish it was 40,000. go to this program. They age from 8 to 11, and they come from a wide range of areas, Manipur, Prale, etc., as you can see in the slide. Next slide, please. In that, there are many things that are done, programs and courses have been developed. The facilitators have been liaising with the parents who are very enthusiastic about the program. One of the things that I noticed going to the program is that they are able to do some counseling programs with the children, and to see some of the stories that these children are telling is very scary. And I think that more programs need to be done like this to allow the children an avenue to vent, because it shows you what is happening in our society today. Next slide, please. To continue the major accomplishments, you can see that they have a computer center, they've set up a blog, they've done a variety of different things. And this has really, really enhanced the livelihood of those 40 children who are attending this program. I really have to stress that the facilitators and the teachers and everybody else who's working steadfastly for this program have to be commended. Next slide. As you can see, high accomplishments, committed staff, teacher facilitated programs, all of these things are working to the benefit of our youth. Next slide. And as you can see, here are the children at the computers learning information technology. And children getting nutritious snacks, not junk, not consoles. These are all foods that are given to the children to encourage healthy eating. Next slide. Challenges that the program has is insufficient funding, obviously. The tennis courts need painting and need nets. So anyone who is willing to donate, please donate. A dedicated life skills resource room. Connection for the IT room. And this is a problem, and the Minister of Education raised this yesterday. 25% of those 40 children have poor reading skills. And this is showing that the problem is coming from the primary schools, and we need to target this earlier clock. We cannot wait until, as the Minister said, as the representative from Miku Tau said, we cannot wait until a child enters secondary school. Next. Miku Police Station. I'm very proud of my Miku police, and we need to give a little detail about it. The Miku police station serves both Miku North and Miku South. They do day and night shifts. There are 16 officers, only one woman. I wish there was a little more, but you know, I'm biased. And they serve 12 main areas. Miku Village, Duga, Diga, Margaret, Deriso, Blanchard, Bosha, Chiroche, Anje, all of these areas are covered by the police in that police station. In looking towards the future, the staff have come together and they put forward a work plan, which is in keeping with the work plan and the vision of the Semusha Police Force. And what they will be doing is reviewing it on a quarterly basis to us to continue and make sure that they are focused on the challenges ahead. Next slide. I think that we need to look at warrants executed, 36, and this is the amount of revenue, $35,892.44 for 2009. And for 2010, we have increased numbers. We have $40,000 of warrants executed, and the money paid so far are $47,858.16. So that shows you that, you know, things are being done, and I know definitely the family court is very happy with the number of warrants in terms of child maintenance that are coming out of the constituency. This shows you the number of reports detected, number of reports got by the station, and the number of reports detected. Next slide, please. The major, and I have to stress major, constraint for the police station is the lack of vehicular access. There is one vehicle for the entire area, and it's a very large area, from Tuare all the way down to Canal. And this vehicle is also used to transport people to the Golden Hope facility and the new psychiatric facility, and also to take staff to court sessions in January. And so as a result of this, sometimes reports cannot be dealt with because of the lack of mobility. Next slide. So I urge the government to look seriously at the consideration besides my ATV for another vehicle for the Meepu police station. Communication of work, basically they work online drones. I cannot give you an exact figure because for the first phase, the amount was not reported to the district office. But we did work at Monaco Cemetery Road, Pulley Town, a sidewalk on Judd in Meepu, and Cassius and Lafayette. The second phase was Monaco Cemetery Road and St. Mary, where a total of $200,000 was spent by the people. Next. Hope. Two projects were done under Hope. A road, a much needed road in Margaret Hood was done, and park renovations and beautification in Myatt Gardens. This is incomplete, so this is why there is no amount featured in there, because it would be incorrect of me to put this amount given that the works are incomplete. Ministry of Education, as the Prime Minister said in his budget, Meepu Infant and Meepu Secondary got some assistance. There was tiling for the Meepu Infant, replacement of hardboard ceilings at the Meepu Infant, construction of an outer wall for the Meepu Infant School, and fence construction for Meepu Secondary. Next. Now, the needs of my constituents. Communications and works, and I do hope the representative for Castries South East is listening to me very attentively. Roads. Again, I'm listing the same roads I listed last year. And one road which I listed last year is the completion of Meepu Extension Phase 1. This work was done under Taiwanese grant aid over a year ago, and it was supposed to be done together with the Ministry of Communications and Roads, but the Ministry has yet to do that. So the road is beginning to degrade, and I urge the Ministry to please look at this road because this would be a waste of funds. Next. My nice long list for Monaco. I do not expect all of these roads to be done in 1 year because obviously I would take all the $15,000 allocated. But I urge the government to look seriously at the needs of this community. These roads are, all of these roads are in extremely deplorable condition. Next slide. Six culverts need to be done up the line, Meepu. Culverts and bridges in Pulley Town. Culverts in the main Monaco area. One of the major bridges that we had requested last year, Madam Speaker, have already been covered under the Taiwanese grant aid fund, so it has been removed. Next. Agricultural feeder roads, Rio, Pico Rio, Malateague, and there are countless other roads. The agricultural roads in these areas, again, are in deplorable condition, causing problems for the farmers bringing their produce to market. Again, Madam Speaker, these are the same things that I listed last year that definitely need assistance. Upgrade of the Meepu playing field, the pasture field, Prale, Wen, Monaco. All of these need assistance. And Margaret Hood, which is known for its sports people, does not have a playing facility. Bus shelter for pasture. So many people from Monaco, from Patches, Lapwet, Vietnam, St. Barry use this area, and they have to stand here, rain or shine. This was a request by the late Sir John before he fell sick in April of 2007. And to date, this bus shelter, Madam Speaker, has not been done. So I urge them, this is a desperate need for the people of this community. And I would urge the government, please look seriously at the needs here. Thank you. Community centers. Rehabilitation of the community center for Prale is definitely needed. There's no multi-purpose center or community center for Loba or for Lapwet Patriots. And these are things that the government needs to look into. But the Prale community center is a critical area. This is an emergency shelter, Madam Speaker. If you see the state of the emergency shelter, I mean, it's an emergency to fix, not an emergency to have people going into that. A project proposal was submitted to the Venezuelan embassy, who unseemed favorably at it, and they're waiting for a response from the Prime Minister's office on this matter. So I hope we expedite it and get the funding from the Venezuelan embassy. Next. The Mico Civic Center, Madam Speaker. I was hoping this year that I would have seen something in the budget talking about site preparations and at least architectural drawings for this complex. This is something that the people, especially the people from the village of Mico, are waiting for. And again, Mico seems to have drawn a short end of the stick. So maybe in the contingency funds, maybe in the community development project, we can look favorably and get funding for that. Next. Education facilities, Mico Secondary and Mico Infant again. The Mico Infant needs, as much as repairs were done this year to the infant school, the Mico Infant needs a new building. And I think that myself and maybe the representative from Mico South and the church need to sit down together and come up with a plan for what is going to happen with this. And the reason why I have to say this, this is a new ceiling that the Ministry of Education put in this year. As you can see, there's already water damage. Next. And the reason why is that the person who did it did not replace the galvanized. So what you're seeing there, the holes there, are actually the galvanized, where galvanized should be. And so the ministry did was commendable, it is going to pose some. This is a huge fact, you can't see it because of the lighting, and this wall possibly is going to fall out very soon. Again, the bucket to collect water, the principal's office flooded again in April, and as you can see, this big hole there to collect rainwater. So these things need to be attended to. The facility is unsuitable for what it used to be used as. Next. And that is the end of my first part of my presentation, Madam Speaker. Now I get into the budget. Madam Speaker, I must be honest and say, as the representative from Mico North, this year's budget broke my heart. I looked at the estimates and saw nothing for my constituency. Yet again. But being the forever optimist, I listened with bated breath to the Prime Minister's budget address. And to say the least, the constituency of Mico North drew a big zero. Nothing with the exception of $100,000 for the village council and some money for the after-school program. And the reason why I say this, Madam Speaker, because I cannot confirm that any roads will be done with the $5 million allocated for roads under communications and works. Because for the past 2 years, we the people of this constituency have been promised and nothing except increasing potholes, damaged vehicles, and frustration have occurred. Maybe the whole project will be divided equitably this time, and the constituencies will get projects that are much needed. Hopefully the constituency development program will allow the constituency of Mico North to get at least $300,000 to do something. Why, Madam Speaker, I must ask, is Mico North treated in such a shoddy manner? 46 years of unbroken loyalty, Madam Speaker, 46 years. Of the 17 children of Our Lady St. Lucia, the men in her life, United Workers Party and St. Lucia Labour Party, treat Mico North like a bastard child. We are not that. I therefore urge the government to do right by the people of this constituency. In reviewing the budget, I noted in the estimates for Bodley under former things that although money was allocated for the expansion of the piggery and replacement of equipment like sewing machines, there was little for rehabilitation programs, Madam Speaker. I've been to Bodley, and Madam Speaker, I must say, it's not a correctional facility, it's a prison, a breeding ground for criminal education. There's much need for additional programs to be established, as well as some counseling programs for the prisoners and also the correctional officers. And Madam Speaker, everyone's wondering curiously as to my sexy figurines. These are made by the inmates of Bodley, and they're made of soap. But the reason why they're in my possession is that they're confiscated items. And people will wonder why are they confiscated items. It is because they're made with the government issued soap that the prisoners are supposed to be using today. But whoever is making this is extremely talented. And I think that donations of boxes of soap don't cost very much. And I think that these things, assisting the prisoners to improve their talent, would go great for the country of St. Lucia. This, I think, is a business venture. A friend of mine has already asked me if I can get more for her bathroom. Madam Speaker, I personally would have taken the money from the closed-circuit TV surveillance program, the loan of $5 million, to assist the prisoners of Bodley in rehabilitation programs. Madam Speaker, in my opinion, and I spoke about it last year, I think that we need to update the legislation before we go ahead and take a loan to buy radar guns. The question is this essential now? Further, I would beg the Prime Minister, understanding that this is a given between OECS and Trinidad, to look carefully at the coastal radar system and determine whether or not it is beneficial to solution. Madam Speaker, under agriculture, I must say that I am very, very impressed, and I don't mean to make the Minister of Ash related, that I am extremely impressed with what the Ministry of Agriculture has done thus far, and I believe that the money invested in the National Clearinghouse and the agriculture facility will greatly improve the market access to farmers and agricultural products. I, however, ask the representative of Babano, and he knows my affiliation to this, please do not forget my rural agro-processing women's group, because he has a group in Babano and there's a group in Nico. Please ensure that the ladies are not forgotten. The revitalization of the aquaculture sector through assistance from the government of Taiwan will also increase diversification in the agricultural sector and improve livelihoods of persons in the rural communities. So I think here, again, the Ministry of Agriculture, together with the assistance from the government of Taiwan, must be applauded for this bold move. Indeed, we unscrambled the egg. The banana adjustment measures, BAM. Yes, we've heard a lot about BAM, BAM in the media. This will also greatly assist the farmers. But although there has been much discussion about the payment scheme, farmers must understand, and I need to stress this, that the methodology is not being determined by the government of St. Lucia. It is determined by the European Union, who have specific rules and guidelines that we, the government of St. Lucia, have to address. Madam Speaker, it's a bit disappointing that the representative from Shodel is not here. But I need to say this. Over the years, Madam Speaker, illegal exports of marine products to Martinique continue to place a strain on the management of our limited marine resources. I would therefore urge all solutions to respect the laws, and further, I would like the representative for Shodel in his capacity as Minister of External Affairs to liaise with his French counterpart to discuss this matter. Communications and Works, Madam Speaker. I do hope this year that the Minister looks favorably on the constituency of Lipu North, Madam Speaker. Further, given the funds, the reduction of funds allocated by the Kuwaiti grant aid from $17 million to $2.288 million, what is the situation with the Lobat-Pulisan Road? What am I supposed to tell the people? Is it going to be done or is something else going to be done in its place? Because for three consecutive budgets, Madam Speaker, the people of Loba have been hearing that their road is going to be fixed, And for three consecutive budgets, I keep telling them, yes, yes, it is. And right now, I have no answers. Constituency development project, Madam Speaker. As I said, I do hope the money is divided equitably and holistic development for the country is attained by giving at least $300,000 to my constituency. Madam Speaker, external affairs. After a wonderful visit to the island and people of Taiwan, I was privileged not only to see the Taiwanese culture and understand that they actually do have greater linkages with China than is given here. We spend our time arguing about China, Taiwan, and radiantly, it's like a mother and son, disgruntled about a few minor things. Madam Speaker, I must say that I was impressed with the St. Lucian students who have taken the bold move to move so far away from home. And I was particularly impressed at their grasp of Mandarin. Madam Speaker, it is imperative listening to them that overseas missions be established to deal with the specific issues of students. They're so far away from home. Who's going to help them while they're overseas? And in countries, not only in Taiwan, but countries like Mexico, as we have diplomatic ties with and solutions have scholarships obtained from those countries, I think it is necessary that we establish such missions to assist our students. Madam Speaker, looking at the budget, I noted that Leopardy is back on stream, as well as Magatooth and Jalousie. I must impress that these developments will provide much needed work for St. Lucian. But we must ensure the rights of St. Lucians are always preserved, including the access to beaches and the Queen's Chain. I speak of this because I, Madam Speaker, know that it is increasingly problematic. I too have been turned away from beaches. There is a beach not too far from my home, and I know the representative for Cashew South is familiar with this. And I too have been turned away from that beach because it is surrounded by a fence and a gate, and you have to seek permission to get access to the beach. And depending on how favorable the security guard feels like doing it, you may not get access. So therefore, Madam Speaker, I believe that it is essential that we maintain the 222-year-old law of take a powder room and never, ever sell the Queen's Chain and continue to mean the rights and heritage of St. Lucian. Madam Speaker, under social transformation, I need to talk about hope. I think hope is an excellent idea, in principle. I believe that the training component needs to be strengthened because once the persons, and this also happens with steps, once the persons are no longer employed, they resort to the unemployable status. So I think that one of the things that needs to be looked at seriously for hope is how do we strengthen that training component to ensure that the persons in this program become employable. Madam, the Boys Training Center, and I'm going to read a report from, it's a note that was done in 1997. The Boys Training Center. The visit to the Boys Training Center can be described as a rude awakening. The conditions of the physical environment in which staff must function on a daily basis is beyond me to the least. The confined space in which accounts serves and other members of staff conduct their tasks should be reconsidered. There is need to review the working conditions for staff at this institution who are the ones who have some control over the individuals in their care. Unmotivated staff will not give a good output level. The conditions that young men live in the center does not appear to encourage positive behavior, much less correction to behavioral problems. The coexisting of young boys placed under care and protection, and Madam Speaker, I am stressing care and protection. They have done no crime. Together with criminal, deviant children, this is highly questionable. There was a constant flow of water from water tanks, and I can continue going on and on about this. This is 1997, and the Boys Training Center is still the same way. most of, and I commend the government because I saw money in the budget allocated for the development and construction of a juvenile facility. Most of the youth at Bordley, age 17 and up, come directly from Boys Training Center or repeat offenders from Boys Training Center. What are we saying about this facility? And Madam Speaker, I have to stress again, those children who have committed no crimes but come from families where they are so abused and need protection are placed in facility and continue to get abused and then become criminals on our streets. And then we want to know why we have crime. So I urge the government to expedite the construction of this juvenile facility. It is imperative and very important. Madam Speaker, I would like to commend the Ministry of Social Transformation and the youth who participated in Youth Parliament. It was exceptional. My only disappointment is there wasn't much more of my colleagues at the activity. And I urge my colleagues this year to give greater support to the youth at Youth Parliament, which will be happening from June 16th to June 17th. And I'm apologizing in advance, Madam Speaker, because I may be out of state attending the International Whaling Commission, and therefore I will not be able to attend. However, if I am in state, trust me, I will be there. I definitely learned a thing or two, Madam Speaker, and what I have to tell my colleagues here today, Madam Speaker, is coming to Youth Parliament gives you the youth perspective at a constituency level. So I was able to glean things about all different constituencies just by listening to the youth. So I would encourage members present to please attend. I would also encourage that at this Youth Parliament, the youth actually debate, build that we debate in the House, so we as members of Parliament can get the youth perspective. I also think youth representatives should be elected. And I think at the constituency level, allowing the youth to have a louder voice, and this to be reflected in the governance of our country. Madam Speaker, last year I spoke about, and I'm going on about education, I spoke about minimum standards and common entrance. This year I need to speak about GST. And as I said, yesterday I was very impressed with the presentation on what has been outlined by the representative for Kamiku South for the Ministry of Education. And I do hope that many of the proposals come to fruition. Madam Speaker, maths and English are critical for employment. Most places you go, they ask you to have maths and English. So Madam Speaker, I look at the maths results and the English results, and I'm not laying blame at anyone. I need to stress this, I'm not blaming anyone. There's a problem, and we know that there's a problem, and the representative alluded to that, and I think that we need to seriously look at this problem. 2,733 students were enrolled in Form 5 in 2009. For English, 2,230 children passed the English exam. 468 did not enter, 35 did not sit, and 770 children failed. So when you add all that up together, Madam Speaker, you get a sum total of 1,273 children who did not attain English. As the member from Miku South said, the math results were not very good at all, below the average. And Madam Speaker, the number that entered out of the 2,733 students was 2,008 children. The number who did not sit was 36. The number who did not enter was 725. The number who failed, Madam Speaker, was 1,067. The total who therefore did not attain mathematics was 1,828 children, Madam Speaker. So therefore, we're saying that if you take English and math, 1,828 children will not be able to gain viable employment because they do not have the criteria, the requisite results for employment. And if you add maybe 300 children to drop out, because when I looked at the economic review, the results of 2007-2008 dropout is almost 300. So I'm saying 300, that is over 2,000 children. So Madam Speaker, you want to know why we have crime, I don't know. But as I said, I am glad to hear from the representative from Miku South the acknowledgement of the problem and that the Ministry of Education is increasing the efforts to combat the problem. However, Madam Speaker, I think that we need to start looking at this problem from grade 2 minimum standard results. A child should never, Madam Speaker, be allowed to reach common entrance level without the basic proficiency in math and English. And I think this is where we have to target the problem. I am not an educator. I am just looking at facts and figures. And I think that there is a problem, and we have to stem this problem because we are doing an injustice to our children. I further believe, Madam Speaker, in looking at the allocations for the Ministry of Education, that the Ministry of Education should have been given more resources. Furniture and equipment, $700,000. Madam Speaker, insufficient. School repairs, major school repairs, $2.6 million, but we're spending $5 million on school circuit TVs. Which one is more important, Madam Speaker? $1 million on canvas, but we're only spending $2.6 on the repairs of schools. Where are our priorities, Madam Speaker? Madam Speaker, in my capacity of, and I'm switching many hats because I have many hats, as assistant PRO for the current secondary school, I find it necessary to beg for assistance for these children and the teachers. Madam Speaker, and this has been reported to the Ministry of Home Affairs, the teachers and children of this school are attacked. Attacked, Madam Speaker, by persons, delinquent persons, on a weekly basis while walking from the school to the Grosley Highway. And therefore, I'm recommending that 2 SPCs at least be placed during the commencement of school and the end of daily school activities to curtail this activity. Further, I would request that an investigation be done throughout the island to determine which schools have this problem. Madam Speaker, at the current secondary school, there is a problem because the ghetto is the school's backyard. So instead of having agricultural school gardens for growing bananas and other ag things, we are probably growing illicit items for the children. The fence is substandard and there is no recreational facility. The court, again, is not up to standard and it will cost approximately $80,000 to do this work. So the children have no place to sit down to eat. And so then, Madam Speaker, I am urging the representative for Rosalie, in collaboration with the representative from Miku South and the minister who is in the Senate for Home Affairs, to look at this school as well as other schools that have this problem, because you cannot be having your children attacked and illicit items being sold, children jumping the fence to go into the ghetto to buy things rather than going to school. Madam Speaker, health, wellness, and gender relations. I must commend the ministry and the minister for the desire to establish a national health information system. And I will urge the member for Anchorage County to ensure that this project gets off the ground, as this would revolutionize the healthcare system in St. Lucia, allowing access and knowledge of all health problems throughout the island. So I want to stress, I believe that this is a priority and will greatly help the medical institution and health system of the nation. Madam Speaker, the transit home for Gold is complete, and as far as I'm aware, and the government needs to open it and have it functioning expeditiously.
Honourable Member for Deep North, you have 10 more minutes to complete your presentation.
Madam Speaker, I wish to invoke Section 3210 to allow the member an additional 15 minutes.
Honourable members, the question is that Standing Order 3210 be invoked to allow Honourable Member from Meepu North an additional 15 minutes to complete her presentation. I now put the question. As many as are of that opinion, say aye. As many as are of a contrary opinion, say no. I think the ayes have it. The ayes have it. Honourable Member, you have an additional 15 minutes to complete your presentation.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Thank you for it. Madam Speaker, there is also need for a home for troubled girls, because we have the Boys Training Center, but when girls are in trouble, what do we do with them? They're left to roam the streets to get up to trouble and continue with their wayward behavior. And so this is something that needs to be looked into seriously. Madam Speaker, as well, let's pause on the justice. There is need to reform the family law legislation. And to simplify matters, Madam Speaker, I don't believe in reinventing the wheel. Given that the OECS family law bills have already been developed, the ideal would be to enact them as legislation. And therefore, I believe that one of the things that the relevant ministers for this area should bring this to this honorable house, because the rights of a father, fathers have no rights. Children have very limited rights. I mean, Madam Speaker, if you have to look at the law, the present laws are doing an injustice to fathers and children in particular, and we are actually breaking some of the international legislation acts that we have assigned ourselves to. The rights of a child, Madam Speaker, if we seriously have to look at what we are doing to our children, because we lack the legislation to do the proper enforcement, you know, it's deplorable. So I'm urging that such legislation be brought to the House this year. Madam Speaker, the allocation of $200 is insufficient. I mean, it's laughable for child support. And I believe a new maximum needs to be put in place for men who can afford it. And I need to stress that. Because I know that there will be men saying, born here, the lady said that, you know, increase the child support amount. There are gentlemen that I know that cannot afford it. But Madam Speaker, $200, and one of my intentions, but I didn't have time to do it, I wanted to go into the supermarket and price the basic items for what a mother needs to feed a child and bring it to this honorable house and show you that $200 is nothing. So Madam Speaker, I think that this needs to be very seriously looked at. Madam Speaker, we like to blame the men for the rising birth rate, single parent households and all of that. But Madam Speaker, it takes two to tango. A woman cannot get pregnant without the involvement of a man or his biological product. Because I mean, some women will go and do artificial insemination or whatever. I don't think that's a problem in Kenosha, but men, Madam Speaker, through you, I would like to speak to the men. The children you refuse to support and boast proudly of your lack of support for those children, if you don't want them in the first place, don't have them. Or use them on somebody. No, because Madam Speaker, no, I have to be wrong with this. This is ridiculous. Because all over the island, people are boasting how many children that they have, but the mothers are struggling to support those children. School is expensive. Children now want to go to university, to have a computer, to have all of these luxuries. And these children, in my constituency, Madam Speaker, their children still walking to school with no shoes. because the mothers cannot afford it. Children not coming to school because there's no food to be put on the table. So if you cannot take on that responsibility, do not have the child. Ladies, because Madam Speaker, I need to speak to the ladies. Through you, of course. The children you have, but you cannot support. Why are you having them? The men are supporting them, you cannot support them. Why are you having them? With the increasing cost of raising a child, Madam Speaker, look at the price of groceries in the supermarket, the basic essentials, and you're only getting $200 if you're getting so much. If you're not ready to have one, or you're unable to support them, Madam Speaker, follow the ABCs. Abstain, be faithful, or condomize. And Madam Speaker, protecting yourself by using a condom also prevents you getting, besides pregnancy, contracting STDs like HIV and AIDS, Madam Speaker. This is a serious problem. There are children aged 13 years old, Madam Speaker, who have AIDS. 13, Madam Speaker. What are we saying about this country, Madam Speaker? Things have to stop. We cannot continue to go down the route that we are going right now. Madam Speaker, as the sole woman in the house, I believe that it would be amiss of me not to talk about domestic violence. Madam Speaker, in reading the Bible, and I'm just going to take one chapter from the Bible, because there are many. Judges chapter 19, verses 23 to 26. This is evidence of violence against women. Madam Speaker, and the reason why I'm bringing this up is that this shows you 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago, that there was violence against women. This is unexcusable. And Madam Speaker, 2,000 years later, we still have the same problem. So Madam Speaker, we as a nation need to stand up, stand straight up, and put a stop to it. Madam Speaker, we'll say tomorrow we'll do it one more day. One more day will become one more week, and then be back to 2,000 years. Madam Speaker, I urge everyone to stand up in rejection of such behavior. And I urge all my colleagues here to stand up against this. And if they know of anyone committing such heinous crimes, please, Madam Speaker, put a stop to it. It is wrong. No person has the right to abuse a man or a woman. Madam Speaker, I have to talk about mentoring, and the Prime Minister mentioned it in his speech. And I believe that we have to encourage a mentoring system in Tunisia. There are many children that I have given rides during my toing and froing up and down to meet. And listening to them, talking to them along the way, some of them travel from Miku as far as Kachi. The stories that they tell you are indeed very scary. And they just want someone to help them, assist them, confide in them, give them the little advice they have, maybe some help with homework. And Madam Speaker, in my life, there are many people who mentored me. One of those persons is Sir Duncan Sentoma. And I'm so glad to see that he got this accolade. Because Madam Speaker, Duncan Sentoma selfishly gave his time to teach art to students like me. When I was told, you cannot do it. You will never be able to do it. He gave his time selflessly. And today, I'm a better person because he gave his free time to help me. And for that, I am truly grateful. And I am urging everyone who has the capacity to mentor a child and change their life, step up to the plate. Madam Speaker, I have to talk briefly about the grant. I spoke about it last year, and I'm going to speak about it again. The grant for the blind school, deaf school, and a special education school ranges between $20,000 to $30,000 a year, and the salary, I don't know for what reason, Madam Speaker, have been reduced from $679,150 to $218,736. I cannot explain why, Madam Speaker. This is insufficient. What can you do with $30,000 or $20,000 for a school? Madam Speaker, $30,000 isn't enough for me to do something in my office. And my office is very small, far less a school. Madam Speaker, and the reason why I'm looking at this is that Apple Square gets $100,000 when you compile all the special education schools, excluding the salaries, they only get $130,000, Madam Speaker. What are we saying? That those special education children don't have rights, don't have needs? I think, Madam Speaker, we need to look seriously at this. I saw in the budget and I commend the government for the fact that they are building a new special education school. But we also have to look at the existing schools that we have in place, and we have to put and give them the resources to provide the proper education for those children. Madam Speaker, I need to speak to the media. Because I travel around the world, and this is to do with special education, in particularly the deaf. Caribbean islands, developed countries, wherever you go. When it comes time for news, there is someone there doing the sign language. So for the government information service and the private companies like HTS and DBS, I am urging you to have someone do sign language of the news so the deaf persons are not ignored and they are able to hear the news through their eyes. I think these things, these small things that do not cost that much, Madam Speaker, will go a long way for their benefit. Madam Speaker, I would like to thank, and I think that we have to thank people. I would like to thank the Taiwanese Embassy for their invaluable contribution to the country of Centralisation. But Madam Speaker, I also want to thank the Venezuelan Embassy, the Mexican Embassy, the French, the British, the Brazilian, OAS and AICA for their continued contribution to scholarship, cultural development programs, healthcare, and cultural development, just to name a few. We have to thank all our friends. Madam Speaker, in closing, I would like to thank you and the staff of the Parliament for all the work that you have done throughout the year. I would like to thank you and the staff for organizing training sessions both here and abroad, which have greatly assisted the members of Parliament in carrying out their parliamentary duties. The Parliament must be commended. Madam Speaker, as I close, I would like to thank my constituency again for their invaluable support, my family, in particularly my mother, my children, and my partner for the late nights that they have had to go without me. And for my mother, I do apologize for the late night I have sent her crazy with my children. So Madam Speaker, thank you very much to you and to all members of the Solution Public for their continued support, and I look forward to their continued support for the next year. Thank you.